The feeling of warm sunlight on skin, the quick blink of an eye, the color of fall leaves and the sound of them rustling, the words of a poem carefully memorized, the movement of your lips as you recite it, the feelings of exuberance and a joyful moment, of sullen despair, of anger, fear, joy, or stress. Everything you and your body experience and every action you take is a product of the complex 3-pound construct of nerves, fat, minerals, hormones, and electricity that is your brain. For the vast majority of history, any real semblance of understanding of the human brain eluded those who tried to study it. The ancient Egyptians didn't even have a singular word for it, referring to its individual components with terms like folded cloth and reed field. It wasn't until some 3 millennia later, during the Enlightenment, that scientists began to make the first real connections between brain processes, electricity, and the signals that dictate our every waking and non-waking moment. In the 20th century, Nobel Prize-winning researcher Charles Scott Sherrington published work centered around the base unit of communication between a neuron and other cells within the body. In doing so, he was the first to coin the term synapse. "You are your synapses," writes Justin Ledeau in his book Synaptic Self. "They are who you are." That's all very poetic, but what truly is a synapse? And how does a minuscule reaction between 2 neurons result in, well, anything? Imagine you, or rather your brain, wants the body to do something small, like a movement of the finger, just a twitch, like this. Like all movements, reactions, and experiences, this starts in the brain, which sends a signal to specialized motor neurons located in the spinal cord. This signal occurs in the infinitesimally small space between 2 nerve cells. We call that space the synapse. The space of a synapse is almost too small to conceptualize. 50 nanometers. That's 1/100 millionth of a meter. And here, cells can exchange both chemical and electrical signals between one another at an incredibly rapid pace. These signals, which act as a precisely tuned messaging system, in turn form the basis of all human experience. The single signal, which begins in the brain, sends a chain reaction down the nervous system. A game of synapse telephone that, when it reaches its destination, causes your finger to twitch. Every action, sensation, and thought you experience is the result of these synaptic signals, and the economy of scale is enormous. In the brain alone, at least 500 billion of these messages are sent every single second. But not all brain activity is the same. And the flow of these messages is ever-changing, a dynamic symphony of electricity, information, and life. Just take a look at brain scans of someone sleeping, someone exercising, playing the violin, engaging in conversation. And these images, which highlight the synaptic activity of various regions of the brain, we begin to uncover the complexities within ourselves. The true value of modern imaging technology is that we don't have to just rely entirely on personal description or the physical anatomy of the brain. When someone feels good, when they feel mentally healthy, when they're experiencing a positive mood, we can see that. We can trace it to an extent using modern imaging and the new tools of neuroscience. And at the same time, when someone is reporting feeling anxious, we can see that too, and understand the biology of these conditions like never before. And for the first time, we can see that the brain is growing and changing. For essentially the entire history of neuroscience, we never thought that we could grow new brain cells. After child development, we thought the brain was what it was, fully formed. When I was in medical school, most clinicians agreed that once you grew into adulthood, your brain was done growing. While the rest of the cells in the body would continue to reproduce throughout your life, you only got one set of brain cells, about 100 billion or so. And with luck, you'd manage not to kill too many off as you aged. Now, scientists have shown us that the brain, like the rest of the body, continues to change and grow well into our golden years. Its ability to continue to make new connections between cells is referred to as neuroplasticity. And the ability to produce fresh, new brain cells is called neurogenesis, and is known to occur in specialized area of the brain called the hippocampus, which is the center of your brain's emotional, learning, and memory functions. Dr. Celeste Campbell writes, "From the time the brain begins to develop in utero until the day we die, the connections among the cells in our brains reorganize in response to our changing needs. This dynamic process allows us to learn from and adapt to different experiences. Even more so, researchers are learning that each of us has a degree of agency over our neuroplasticity and neurogenesis. Consider the hippocampus. This small seahorse-shaped region is often described as the brain's memory center. It also happens to be a part of the limbic or emotional system, and as such, is also affected by mood and anxiety disorders. In fact, studies have found that this key region can shrink as much as 20% in patients who are struggling with depression. Felice Jacka, a leading nutritional psychiatry researcher, and her colleagues decided to directly examine the relationship between the way people eat and hippocampal size. They asked 255 individuals aged 60 to 64 to fill out a questionnaire to assess their dietary practices. They then took brain scans of each person, once at the beginning of the study, and then again after 4 years, to look at diet's effect on the hippocampus. They found individuals who ate a healthier diet were more likely to have a larger memory center. Those who consumed an unhealthier Western dietary pattern showed the opposite effect. And remember, this is in the brain's center of memory, learning, and emotional regulation. I think we can all agree, more of those brain cells sound like a good thing. As we've seen more and more work from animal studies, observational studies, and neuroimaging studies, and randomized clinical trials, and triangulated that with what we know about biology, it becomes clear that habits, lifestyle, and decisions allow us to intervene in our brain's growth and development. Each and every one of us has the power to make more educated decisions about what we eat, how we move, how we sleep, how we manage stress, in order to modify the way our genes are expressed, and to optimize the mental fitness of our modern brains. Let's talk about a few key takeaways from this module. Every action, thought, emotion, or sensation that you have is a product of your brain. And specifically, we're very interested in the connections in your brain called synapses, the infinitesimally small space right between where brain cells talk to each other. The brain's ability to continue to make new connections between cells is referred to as neuroplasticity. One of the largest discoveries in modern neuroscience is that the adult human brain has the ability to produce fresh, new brain cells. This is called neurogenesis. Researchers have found that we have the ability to influence both neuroplasticity and neurogenesis throughout our entire adult lives, not just when we're young. Neurogenesis tends to occur in the region of the brain called the hippocampus,
or the brain's memory and emotional processing center. The hippocampus is effective in those with depression and anxiety. In this course, we will explore the many specific ways that you can help heal your modern brain by harnessing the new science of neuroplasticity and neurogenesis, and the many factors in our everyday lives that we can harness to best optimize our mental fitness and our mental health.